praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, presented by Living Stream Ministry. These life studies explore every book in the Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Holy Spirit. These messages unveil how the Scriptures can be living and more than mere doctrine to man. Today, we bring you recorded excerpts of Witness Lee's original speaking, along with some of our own comments and thoughts. If you have questions, please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. We're joined today in the studio once again by Ed Marks, and as always, it's our pleasure to have Ed with us. Ed, nice to be with you again.
It's good to be back again for another life study of the book of Genesis.
Ed, today we're coming back to the goal and the subject of the entire Bible. And there is a definite focus in this program, Life Study of the Bible, to see that every portion of the Scripture is consistent and always leading to one goal and one purpose. This really is the Bible, isn't it, Ed?
Yes, it is. And in response to this comment, I would just like to point the listeners to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. In these verses, Paul tells Timothy to charge certain ones not to teach differently. Then in verse 4, we see that the unique teaching in the Bible that we need to teach is the teaching concerning God's economy. Any teaching other than the teaching of God's economy is a different teaching. This Greek word economy in 1 Timothy 1:4 is the Greek word oikonomia, composed of two Greek words, oikos, which means house, and nomos, which means law. When we put these two words together, we have a house law or a household law. This shows that God's economy, if you look at the entire Scriptures, is God's household administration to dispense himself in Christ as the Spirit into his chosen and redeemed people to produce a house, a household, in which he dwells in man and man dwells in God so that God can be expressed in this universe. And with these eight great men in Genesis that we've seen that with Adam, we have God's creation. Then when we come to the eighth major person in Genesis, we have Jacob. And with Jacob, we see God's habitation. God's creation is so that God, out of this creation, can have a house in which he dwells in man and man dwells in him, and he is expressed through man in a marvelous way for his glory in this universe.
Ed, you used the word marvelous, and we have a marvelous life study today. But unfortunately, the quality of this particular tape from Witness Lee's sharing in the 1970s is not marvelous. We really debated about using this tape, Ed, but because of the content, we felt that we must try. So we've done all we can do electronically to enhance it, and we hope that it's clear. But we really feel that this message is one that our listeners deserve.
Yes, the content of these life study messages of Genesis are very rich, and these messages from this life study are really classic messages on the book of Genesis. So we hope that everyone will listen closely to get the truth out of this particular life study message, even though the quality isn't that good.
Thank you, Ed. Now we're going to pick up Witness Lee's comments discussing the subject matter of the entire Bible.
The whole Old Testament is a record just of two things, the tabernacle and the temple. Then in the New Testament, what you have again these two things. Jesus was the tabernacle, and the church today is the end. Of all these is the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
The Bible is not a simple book. It is a book of 1,000 chapters. Then what is the subject of the Bible? The Bible tells us eight great persons from Adam, which God's creation, through Jacob, which God's house, vessel. Following these, you have the tabernacle as God's house for a time. Then eventually you have the temple of God. Yet these were just types in the Old Testament. Then in the New Testament, you have the tabernacle again, Jesus, as the reality of the tabernacle. And then following him, you have the church as the temple of God. And all these will consummate in the New Jerusalem. You read Revelation chapter 21. You could see in describing the New Jerusalem. Firstly, it says, this is the tabernacle of God. And eventually it says, this is the temple of God. The New Jerusalem is the ultimate issue of the vessel of God. Tonight, we are here. We are here in Bethel.
Ed, once again, we apologize for the poor audio quality of this recording of Witness Lee, but there certainly were some wonderful points. Actually, two items, the tabernacle and the temple, played a prominent role in this section. What do these represent in God's plan, in God's economy?
Yes, these two items, the tabernacle and the temple, show us the goal of God's plan. And God's plan is God's economy. It's his plan to dispense himself into man so that he can dwell in man and man can dwell in him in a mutual way for his expression in this universe. Now, in the Old Testament, we have the tabernacle and the temple as a type of God's desire for man to enter into him, enjoy all his riches, and be his expression in this universe. Then in the New Testament, we have the reality of the tabernacle and the temple. And finally, at the end of the New Testament with the New Jerusalem, we have the consummation of the tabernacle and the temple. I would just like to mention that when we come to the reality of the tabernacle and the temple, we come to the person of the Lord Jesus. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And then in John chapter 2, he tells us that he was the reality of the temple, of God's dwelling place. Now, what this shows is that God became a man, and Christ was the embodiment of God. For what reason? He was the embodiment of the triune God so that man could enter into him. As the reality of the tabernacle, man could enter into him and enjoy all the riches contained in God, so that man could be infused with God, filled with God, and become God's expression in this universe. Eventually, this tabernacle, this temple, becomes the church as the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul tells the Corinthians, you are the temple. Now the church is the temple of God for God's expression in this universe. Eventually, the New Jerusalem is referred to as the tabernacle of God. This means that we, as God's chosen and redeemed people, we become his tabernacle for him to dwell in. The New Jerusalem is also referred to as the temple of God. This means that God in Christ as the Spirit is our temple for us to dwell in. This is a mutual abode in which we dwell in God and God dwells in us for his expression in this universe. To conclude with this question, this shows us that God's desire, the goal of his desire, is his dwelling place. He wants man to be his dwelling place. He wants to dwell in man. He wants man to dwell in him for his expression in this universe.
Ed, thank you for that fellowship. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for more of this life study.
In chapter 35, I do believe Jacob was quite close to 100 years of age. But not one word has ever told us that Jacob made some dealing with himself. that Jacob made some clearance with himself. All the time, Genesis tells us Jacob was supplanting. Yeah. Jacob was playing his skillful art to supplant others. This was his record. And you have to know the change with Jacob in chapter 35 was not a small thing. This is the first time in the Bible that says something concerning a man walking in the presence of God to clear himself. Not only to clear himself, but also to clear his whole household. Everyone who was related to him, he charged them to get themselves fully purified and clear. For what purpose? Just for one purpose, to go up to Bethel. In chapter 35, God didn't say to get rid of all kinds of defilement. Anyone that is touched by God for his dwelling place, right away, something within him, charging him to get himself clarify. You could tolerate with your sloppiness. You could tolerate with all kinds of development in your life. But whenever you touch the church, whenever you touch the church, something within you touches you. When you mean business with the Lord, to have the church life, no need anyone to tell you anything. Something within you. All the time charges you. That is not fitting for the church. You just tell me why that day when God charged Jacob to arise and to go up to Bethel, right away Jacob told his folks, you must rid off all your foreign gods. And you must purify yourself. And you have to change your garments. That means change a manner of life. Get rid of the old manner of life and put on a new man.
Ed, I thought this was a tremendous point, that when a person is touched by God concerning God's house for his purpose, that person will be automatically moved to cleanse himself and purify himself. Would you say more about this?
Yes, you're absolutely right. This is a tremendous point. And in this chapter, what we see is that God charged Jacob to go back to Bethel. And that means to come back to God's original intention to have the house of God. And we see in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the house of the living God. All of us as believers in Christ, we need to come back to God's original intention. And practically speaking, that means that we need to consecrate ourselves and give ourselves that the Lord could have a practical expression on this earth through the church as the body of Christ. We need to meet as the church. We need to have a church life where we come together, where we meet together as the church, and we come out of all kind of divisive things, and we meet as the church. For this, we need a full consecration. When we come back to have the church life, to practice the church life according to the New Testament, there is something in our being that speaks to us to tell us to cleanse ourselves and purify ourselves. When Jacob decided to go back to Bethel, he charged his family to put away the strange gods among them, to purify themselves and to change their garments. This means that when we come back to God's original intention, that he could have a house for his expression, we need to put away our idols. Now, we may think, well, we don't have idols in our house, but we need to realize that according to the intrinsic significance An idol is anything that replaces God. So we need to put away all the replacements of God in our lives. Not only that, we should purify ourselves. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 tells us that we need to cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This means that there's something in our being that we want to put away all the things that defile us in our flesh and in our spirit. Also, we need to change our garments. Paul refers to this in Ephesians 4 when he says we need to put off our old manner of life and put on the new man. To change our garments is to put off our old manner of life, our worldly ways, our old manner of life, the way we were when we were unbelievers. We need to put off everything related to that and put on the new man. This is to put on the church life, the living of the church in a practical way, and put away everything that doesn't match God's holy and pure nature. This is marvelous, and we just need to have a prayer. Lord, I want to be one with you for your purpose, to put away all the idols, to purify myself, and to change my manner of life to a holy life for your purpose.
Amen. Let's go back to Witness Lee, and again, we have poor audio quality on this recording, but we have a marvelous conclusion ahead, and I hope that all of our listeners stay with us through the end. Here's Witness Lee.
Now, it was so interesting. Jacob knew his wife, Rachel, have some foreign god. But before chapter 35, Jacob never charged Rachel to rid up the foreign god. It was until chapter 35, Jacob charged his household, everyone in his house, to clear up all the idols. You have to realize our following this in all the Bible. Old husband and new husband, all the time, the first thing we have to rid off for God's dwelling place is idol.
Amen.
Many of us would say, we never touch any idol. Well, materially speaking, this may be so. You never touch an idol. But spiritually speaking, we have to realize what is an idol. Anything that replaces God, that is an idol to you. Your education, your ambition, your position, your name, your desire, your intention. If anything of this replaces God in your whole life, this item becomes an idol. Today, we all must realize why man would have happiness with idols, just because man misses God. Man has lost God. God is our happiness.
Amen.
God is our life. Listen to this. The second time God came to Jacob, touching him concerning God's vessel, Jacob really got a revelation. Oh, he got revelation concerning his life. And he realized his life on this earth was not for his happiness. His life on this earth was for God's house.
Amen.
For best.
Amen.
For best. And he realized to reach this goal, it is not a common thing. You cannot go to a house of God with idols. You can't. And you cannot go there with all kinds of pollutions. But you have, number one, to put away all the foreign gods, the idols. And you have what? To purify yourself, your whole being. And you have to change your garment, your whole history, your whole manner of life, your whole being. the whole expression all have to be changed. This is not just a regeneration. This is not just a change of life. I tell you, this is, I would say, fully transformation. Jacob got transformed. Well, this may sound like a doctrine, but check with yourself. For the time you came into church, no one told you anything, but deep into yourself, something there charged you, telling you, now you are going to have the proper church life, this should go. This shouldn't remain. And that should go. And that shouldn't stay here. We all contest. I do believe no one of you did tell me how many things you had cleared up. But I do believe everyone among us did some clearance by coming into the church.
Ed, we're somewhat on the same vein as our last question, but a little different focus. In Jacob's life, when he touched the house of God, it seemed that he received a kind of inner speaking regarding his living. To me, it seems significant that we don't see God coming to him outwardly to speak to him about these defiling things.
Yes, this is very significant. What this shows is that God calls us to drop everything and return to his heart's desire, his original intention. Come back to Bethel. Come back to the house of God. Come back to my original intention. I want to dispense myself into you to the uttermost so that you could meet together with all of my children and be filled with my riches to become my practical expression on this earth. When we obey God's call to do this, there's an inner speaking in us. Actually, this inner speaking is God speaking in us further to deal with all the things that defile us and to come back to his original intention, to have a holy life for the church life. The book of 1 Thessalonians, this is the subject of 1 Thessalonians. This whole book shows us that we need to have a holy life for the church life. You know, when God comes into us, he comes into us. He lives in us as the Holy One. Even this term, the Holy Spirit, in the New Testament, if you look in an interlinear, the Greek term can be the Spirit, the Holy, or the Holy Spirit. The one who lives in us is the Spirit, the Holy. Only God is holy, but he wants us to be holy. How does he make us holy? Well, he makes us holy in two ways. He makes us holy positionally. That means he wants us to be separated from everything other than him unto him. So this is why we need to purify ourselves. We need to get rid of everything in our life that replaces him. We need to pray that we would have a pure heart, that he would be our only goal, and that we wouldn't have any other goal than God himself. We need to change our old manner of life. We shouldn't live like the unbelievers. We shouldn't go to the places they go to. We shouldn't partake of the things that they partake of, because we're a holy people. We should be the salt of the earth. There should be something in us that when people contact us, it makes them thirsty for God. But when we separate ourselves unto God in this way, this puts us in a position where we can be saturated with God as the Holy One, where we can be soaked with him, where we can be filled with him. And so we're sanctified unto God, not just positionally, but dispositionally. In eternity past, he chose us to be holy. And eventually in eternity future, we become the holy city. That means we are fully saturated and soaked with God in Christ as the Holy Spirit, so that we can become his holy wife, his holy bride, to express him as the Holy One in this universe.
Ed, thank you. We began with a tape that we had to apologize for its poor quality, but I think the Lord has made up our lack today. Appreciate your fellowship.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Living Stream Ministry is dedicated to the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China during the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Watchman Nee sent Witness Lee to carry out this ministry in Taiwan. Later, the Lord led him to the United States and eventually to the rest of the world before he went to be with the Lord in 1997. Living Stream Ministry now has hundreds of titles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee available in English, plus many in more than 50 other languages. To find out more about Living Stream and all that we offer, visit our website, lsm.org. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-888-543-3788 or email us radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening.